cross, and it was Bale. Oh, what about that? But Gerrard! You beauty!
I think it's all over. It is now.
Welcome to The Drop Ball, formerly The Sports Sit Down. I'm here with Nathan.
Hiya.
I'm here with Joe.
Hello.
And I'm here with Adam.
You right?
And I'm here with myself. It's Josh. Today we're talking about the Champions League that's just gone this week. And we're also talking about Premier League fixtures upcoming this weekend. And a little bit about the teams, how they're doing so far. So straight into the Champions League. First game I want to talk about, I think we all know it's coming. It's Spurs versus Bayern.
Absolute masterclass from Bayern Munich.
Serge Gnabry is on fire, wasn't he, boys?
Four, weren't it? Four goals.
Four goals, yeah. It's mad how someone that once wasn't good enough for West Brom can score four goals against the runners-up of the Champions League from last year and look so easy doing it.
And it just rubbed salt into the wounds of Tottenham fans. In fact, he was an Arsenal youth.
Yeah. And it all started so well as well. Son took the lead in the 12th minute.
And they looked like they deserved it, to be honest. For the first 10 minutes, they had a couple of chances, to be honest, where they...
I'd say it was probably one of Spurs' better performances of the season, first half.
Yeah.
And the first half was, for sure.
I think we'll obviously talk a bit more about the first half, but I think the moment for me where you say it was their best first half that changed the game was Lewandowski's goal in the 45th. Like, going into half-time down, I think it might have put the Spurs heads down. And... well, we can see that as the goals flooded in the second half.
Car crash off a performance second half.
Defensive shambles. The amount of times the ball was given away in dangerous areas. You can't give a team like Bayern Munich that much.
They didn't even really deserve the goal. Obviously, it was a penalty, but they didn't really deserve it, in my opinion. It should have been 7-1. Like, I don't think they didn't deserve a goal from the second half performance, in my opinion. It was that abysmal.
Do you think it was like so dominant in the second half that it deserved to be a 7-2 game, or do you think Spurs deserved a bit more?
It looked like every time Bayern went forward, they were going to score. Like, can you remember the last 7-2 you've seen? Like, it's mad, isn't it?
Defensively, it was awful. Well, I was watching Newcastle.
And so, we're so used to seeing, you know, Spurs resolute defence, but the fullback sales and, you know, the ageing fullbacks now seems to be them.
Gnabry had Aurier on toast, like, absolute...
Aurier looked like a championship fullback against Serge Gnabry.
Statistically, Bayern didn't even dominate him that hard. It was very close statistically. It was just Bayern took their chances.
Yeah, I think I've seen Bayern Munich play better games than that as well. I'm not saying they still won 7-2. Every time they took a chance, they scored.
Yeah, it was Spurs had 15 shots to Bayern's 19 and 8 shots on target to Bayern's 10. So Bayern, obviously very clinical. How do we fancy them for Champions League this year? Is it their year or still a bit off?
I think they're going to be close, but I don't know if they've got the exact squad depth to get as far as the other teams could. For example, so let's say Man City have got a lot stronger depth than Bayern. Bayern's first team might be better on paper, but if someone gets injured, if Lewandowski gets injured, who are they going to replace him with up front? They've got no second striker.
Yeah, I think if they could have captured Sané or Dembélé, I think they really would have been a force to reckon with. But like you said, a bit of a thin squad. Obviously, Gnabry's proven people wrong. But it only takes one injury.
They're better going forward than defensively as well.
Yeah.
Like, this game didn't really tell their liabilities at the back, but going forward, you could bring on Coutinho and Perisic. I mean,
it's pretty insane bench, isn't it? I mean, I don't know why they sold Mats Hummels. I feel like they still need that experience in defence, and getting rid of him to replace him with a younger talent. I mean, Boateng's not getting any better. Hummels is the better of the two.
Do you see Tottenham actually moving on from Bayern to Tottenham? Do you see them even getting out of the group stages at this point?
Well, they're bottom at the minute, aren't they?
Yeah.
Joint bottom, yeah.
Who else is in that group again?
Red Star Belgrade and Olympiacos.
Who they obviously drew with first game. So,
yeah.
1 point bottom.
If anything, it looks like they're going to struggle to get into the Europa League at this point. Just finishing third, but it's quite embarrassing from someone who's the runners-up. I don't think they deserved to be runners-up last year. I feel like Ajax deserved to be in the final more than they did. And
with regards to Pochettino, obviously we always talk about it every season. We did it last year on the Sports Sit-Down. But what do you think? Will this be his final season? I don't think they'll sack him. But
I think it could be. But I think it's just going to be his contract expires. I feel like they're not going to sack him.
They're a bit of a mess at the minute. Like, him and Levy keep going back and forth about transfers and like what his position is at the club. They almost lost Eriksen, Vertonghen, Alderweireld. I mean, is Kane going to want to stick around if they're like performing this badly? And players like Ali are underperforming massively. I mean, it's a bit of a shambles at the minute, really.
Yeah, and the main thing we accredited them for the past years has got to be the squad harmony. you know, they often went throughout transfer windows not making a single signing. They really kept a nice, tight-knit squad. Brought some players in now, obviously, you know, Ndombele, Lo Celso look like good talents, but I think there's been some significant losses. And also, it seems like Poch's, you know, relationship with some of the players, such as Vertonghen early on in this season, is starting to wear out, as we saw him benched.
It's a really odd one at Spurs at the minute, because it's like they have got one of the better squads in the league, but then they've spent massively this season, not many, only player that's really done much is Ndombele. Like, Lo Celso's not really had a chance yet. They've not, obviously Sessegnon's been injured, but he's not had a chance yet. Like, they've spent loads of money, but it seems like, where have they put it into? Because there still seems to be lots of gaps, like their defence especially.
The fullbacks are done, are past it.
I'm surprised they let Kieran Trippier go. Like, a lot of people, I think he's a decent fullback, and as another option, I think it's great. He's a great cover as well. I'm surprised they let him go.
I personally think it was fine to let him go, because a lot of the time on the podcast last year, we'd say, you know, it might have been his responsibility for one of the goals they conceded in a few of the games. I just think they could have reinvested the money, you know, wiser. If they went and got someone like Max Aarons and developed him into a better defensively minded fullback, that might have been wiser, like Chelsea are trying to do with James.
I'm surprised they didn't try and go in for Ricardo Pereira from Leicester as well, to be honest. I'm surprised no big club went in for him. I think
they would have been priced out, though. Leicester play a
potentially, hard. Yeah, I think... They didn't. Well, Leicester don't need to sell him, but I feel like I'm surprised there was no offer from anyone.
Yeah,
because I think he was one of the better players last year.
So I just want to say, for me personally, I think the standout players were probably Lewandowski, led the line well, Kimmich, and obviously Gnabry. But we're going to move on to Real Madrid versus Bruges, which is another game on Tuesday.
Didn't look too good
at half time for Real Madrid, did it? Obviously, Courtois got the axe.
A goalkeeper getting subbed off at half time.
You know what? Him being subbed off changed the game. Areola seemed so much cooler and so much calmer in defence. Like, in the net, shall I say, and he helped the defence out a lot. There was a few one-on-ones I saw where it looked like Courtois would have conceded them from the attempts that were going on in the night as well.
Both of Club Brugge's goals, really weird, weren't they? Like, both stumble finishes.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he'll score
Dennis stumbled twice and scored both of them. So getting a stumbled brace against the Real Madrid is an odd one.
As much as I... Obviously, a Chelsea fan, ex-Chelsea keeper Courtois, I don't think he's as good as made out. I don't think his team are helping him. Like, he does make some good saves. And when players like Modric, one of your most experienced players, is giving the ball away so easily for that second,
that was poor, wasn't it?
There's not really much you can do. So I think Real Madrid are kicking themselves. They didn't go in for someone like Ndombele to really tighten that midfield up, because the legs in there... is now like non-existent.
You know, Kroos and Modric, they're getting on, aren't
Casemiro's
they?
Casemiro's kind of having to run the show himself, really, isn't he?
Yeah.
I feel really hard done by for Club Brugge. I think they deserve 3 points against Madrid. If they didn't, if Vorma didn't get sent off, which led to the goal, I think they would have won 2-1.
Well, Ramos's header, what was that all about?
Yeah,
I thought it was offside, wasn't it?
It looked offside. Yeah.
It went through VAR, but they said it was just on.
But I think as soon as Vorma went off, the free kick that resulted from that led to the second goal.
Yeah, Casemiro.
But they didn't have enough like depth almost in the team. Being a man down against Madrid's a hard feat for any team, let alone someone with less quality like Club Brugge. But I think they deserved two extra points in this game. Honestly, I think Madrid were dreadful.
Yeah, they got out of jail, didn't they? They're bottom of their group as well.
Yeah, and obviously it's unusual looking at that Real side, how much they've spent, you know, the past transfer window. I think it was over 200 or 300 million. And you look at the starting 11, and it's the one that we've seen for the past few years, minus Cristiano Ronaldo.
Hazard's not really hitting his form at the minute.
He's nowhere near what he was at Chelsea yet, is he?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Real Madrid, you expect it against a side like Bruges. They're going to come to the Bernabeu. They're going to try and park the bus. As we saw that, 74% of possession for Real and 27 shots. They only got 7 on target, which is still all right, but you want to be converting more of those. I think Kroos was really quite poor when he had about 3 or 4 chances that he could have buried. But yeah, it's quite worrying. I know Real Madrid sit top of the Liga, but Zidane again under pressure. Will he go soon, boys?
He could easily, but my thought would be, who do they replace him with? Would they trust someone like a Pochettino if he loses the job at Spurs? Would they?
There's one man who's clearly angling for a return to the Bernabeu. Jose Mourinho.
That was my next point. Is he going to go back?
Yeah,
to any
he's been
of the
making
club
a lot
Madrid?
Of mentions, hasn't he, recently about the club?
Do you reckon he'd work his second run? Do you reckon he'd do as well as he did the first time with him?
I don't think it'll reach that level, but I think he could still make it work because he's still a top manager.
I'm going to call it now. Allegri will want it. But anyway, we're on to Barca versus Inter.
Great game.
Inter really started well. Lautaro Martinez, obviously they were without Lukaku. Martinez got a goal 2 minutes in and could have had a second thanks to a world-class save.
He's becoming a world-class striker, Martinez is. I think under Conte, he's going to become special.
I'm surprised at how quickly Conte's got into playing the way he wants to play.
They're playing amazing.
They look a good football
squad. I don't think they deserved at least a point from that game. I mean, did you see the Suarez goals? The first Suarez goal was incredible. Yeah. I think that was the best finish of the Champions League fixtures this week.
Second goal was just Messi doing Messi things.
And then just giving a ball to Suarez. So Suarez is never going to miss from that position.
And I think that Conte's 3-1-4-2 seems to be working. I really like Brozovic at the base of the midfield. Liked him for a few years. Obviously showed what metal he has, you know, playing for Croatia at the World Cup.
It seemed to me as well that Inter only lost the game because they were trying to counter-attack in the last few minutes of the game. They were trying to get a late goal.
Yeah.
And they committed too many men far forward, and then Messi was allowed to just run through the team.
Yeah.
Which, that was the only reason they conceded a goal. And I feel like it was a bit unfair that they actually conceded a goal because I feel like they deserved something from it.
Yeah.
I think both teams are going to get far in the tournament. I don't think they're going to struggle to get anywhere in this.
What about Dortmund in the group, though?
This is the thing. I feel like Dortmund and Inter are the team that are going to go through second place. So one of them is going to go into the Europa League, and the team that goes into the Europa League will be pushing the final. There's teams like Arsenal looking great in the Europa League. I can't say the same about Man United, but we can get on that at a later date. But I feel like that's the hardest group to get out of, but those two are playing the best football in the group.
Yeah, when it was drawn, everyone was saying that's going to be like the group of death, you know, really difficult one to get out of. Thought it was great, like we said, great performance from Inter. But for me, Barcelona, when they made the substitution, when Vidal came on for Busquets, he provided some more legs and energy.
He changed the game.
And he got the assist for Suarez's second. Lovely ball into it.
Suarez's first.
No, it was the first second. Yeah.
Messi.
Messi got the second Messi assist. The first one was Vidal whipped across from the edge of the 12-yard box.
Oh, well, he made an impact anyway.
And when they brought on Dembele for Griezmann.
It's mad that they have that much depth anymore. Like, you don't really...
He did offer something else in attack, didn't he? Like the pace.
I feel like he's often overlooked of how good Ousmane Dembele is. I feel like he deserves a starting place, but at Barcelona, I don't think he's going to get it for the next few years.
Next game we're talking about is City versus Zagreb. 2-0 win for City. Nowhere near at the best. They
just nothing special.
Squandered a lot of chances, didn't they?
Zagreb went to park the bus and they nearly got away with it. I think it was like the 75th minute their first goal went in. And as soon as Sterling scored, it was just game over. There was at 1-0, it was they were
66
done.
66 minutes.
Yeah,
just Joe
off the bench, wasn't he?
Yeah,
81% possession. So obviously, you know, lion's share of the possession. A lot of shots as well. But like I said, they just didn't have the quality. A lot of the time, especially first half, Bernardo himself actually had a few chances.
I think Zagreb played a really good defensive game. Like, I know they conceded two goals, but they held on for 65 minutes against one of, if not the best team in England. And that was quite good to see. I don't think they deserved a point. I think Man City were the deserved winner in the game, but they did play a good game of football considering they went just to defend.
And it was nice to see Foden get on the score sheet, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sterling's a massive advocate for him to get into the international team, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think he deserves it.
I don't think there's a place for him at the minute.
He's not getting enough game time at City at the moment.
True. Do you reckon he should go out on loan anywhere to get some more game time?
Probably. Somewhere unless like, Pep's like going to play maybe. Him or...
Anywhere, really? Any top half team?
Yeah, Pep's been singing his praises, so perhaps if he knows he's not going to get into that competitive side, give him some time.
Some of the stuff Pep says about him, though, is so... I know everyone has to respect whatever Pep says, but it's stuff like he respects me too much as a manager and crap
well,
like
Pep,
that.
Pep
and
said,
I just think it's kind of like... It's not... He should have better things or worse things to say about him than he respects me too much. It's kind of like when you say, I work too hard.
Did you hear what Pep said about Foden anyway? He said that Foden's one of the best talents he's ever had the chance to manage. So I don't think he's going to... As much as I'd love to see him go out on loan and get more game time because he deserves it, I think he's one of the better young English talents we've got. I don't think he's going to get it because I don't think Pep wants to let him go. I think Pep enjoys having him as a utility player to bring on if David Silva's getting a bit tired.
He's about fifth choice down the pecking order, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
For centre mid spots at the minute.
Yeah.
It's mad how they can have that much depth. It's insane. This is why I think they're favourites to win the Champions League this year. They've never
we
won.
We say this every year.
Every year, but I feel like this year's different. I feel like they're already second in the league to So Liverpool, how many points are they behind?
Five points behind.
5 points. I feel like that already could be a bit too much to ask. So I feel like if anything, they might target the Champions League.
You heard it here first, Adam Westwood.
I think they'll still go for the Prem. Obviously, I think we'll get onto the Prem later, but obviously, I don't think it's quite early doors. It's only seven.
It is early doors, but I feel like Liverpool are the sort of team to grind out results against anyone. Man City have already had big defeats against teams like Norwich. Like those 3 points are hard to miss when you like Liverpool are grinding out results against pretty much everyone.
We'll get onto the Premier League anyway later because I've got some
opinions
on that matter about Liverpool grinding out results. Oof.
Yeah, City obviously not at the best. Only 30% of their shots are on target, which we don't usually associate with them. But for me, man of the match had to be Mahrez. I think at the minute he's really not just technically, but he's actually putting in much more of a shift.
Well, he's keeping his name in the starting lineup at the moment, isn't
it? Yep, obviously he's out injured, but he was even before the injury, he's keeping Sane out, which is quite a feat in itself. Next game we want to talk about, Lille versus Chelsea. Nathan, it was good to get a win, wasn't it, away from home?
Finally get that first Champions League win for Lampard. Tammy scored. The ball from Tomori for a centre-half to be doing that.
Swaz.
Do you know what? Both Tammy Abraham and Victor Osimhen for Lille, both of them are looking like they could be world-class strikers in the next few years. Both of them looked clinical all night. I mean, it was one of the most end-to-end games of the match day. I'd say that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Osimhen, as you said, 6 goals in 7 games already for Lille. Wolfsburg, formerly in Belgium as well, Charleroi. But yeah, he's really come to life. He's taken over the mantle of Pepe, seemingly.
Yeah, imagine how good this Lille team would be if they still kept Pepe for another season.
And the boy Thiago Mendes.
Oh, don't forget the boy. Do you know what? Honestly, though, I think watching the game, Jorginho is one of my favourite players to watch. He's honestly one of the classiest players, and his experience this season with that Chelsea squad is really vital.
He's,
I think
he's improved so much in just one season. Like last season, I think his instructions were simply just to play it short to the side, but he's expanding his passing range and he's doing more going forward. And defensively, I think his defensive stats are better than both Rodri and Fabinho at the minute.
Yeah, quite hard to be ahead of those two as well.
And we saw it, you know, clip the post as well just on half time, which really would have taken Chelsea in, you know, confident. We obviously were drawing at the half-time point.
Shambles from set pieces, though.
That free header for Osimhen, it's just too easy. Like
we can't
really
be giving any striker that much space, let alone someone who's in that good form.
Yeah, we need, it's going to sound very cliche, but we need a John Terry type. Like just somebody that's going to take no nonsense. And
I just feel like you need John Egan.
Sign him up.
You need a centre-back with a bit more experience, but obviously how many? You've got another two windows left.
Phil, we're still missing Rudiger.
Yeah.
As soon as Rudiger comes back, that'll be good. I think Rudiger and Tomori can make a really good partnership. But I think Lille kind of deserved a point from the game. I think both teams could obviously have deserved a win, but I feel like they deserve something from the game. I think it was a bit too end to end just for a simple.
Willian scoring on his 300th appearance for the club.
Yeah.
Hudson-Odoi sent that defender into the shadow realm, didn't he? Just body checked him, put it in. Willian threw the legs on the volley.
Well, he's actually been, Willian has actually been directly involved in more Champions League games, goals for the club since his debut in 2013 than anyone else with 15. So as much as we do give him criticism, he is doing well on the big stage for us in the Champions League anyway. I was really impressed by Abraham as well. He just continues to impress. You know, hold up play, the finish for the first goal. Anything you want to add on that ball?
I think he's going to be England's number one striker in the next few years. I think he's a better goal scorer than Rashford is already. And that's coming from a United fan. Like, Rashford shouldn't be up front when you've got
tall,
some...
He's strong, he's quick.
He gets into a really good position as well. Like, he can go out, he can drift out wide, but still not seem out of position, even though he's so tall and strong. Like,
I think he does need to improve his finishing still, because there is a lot of chances he does throw away.
But yeah, then they weren't very clinical. I think they got 3 shots on target, did they? Chelsea.
Story of Chelsea season, really.
Yeah.
I feel like he could have really done with a striker to learn from this season. Like, if you'd have somehow kept Higuain, because you could have bought him from last season. If you could have kept a bigger name striker and had that striker sort of like teach Tammy for the season or so, that could have really helped.
Is that not what Giroud's for?
Is Giroud good enough of a striker to mentor?
Francis Line, didn't he? Mm.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like if you're comparing Higuain or Giroud, yeah, in the Premier League he didn't get as many as we thought he was going to, but I feel like the quality difference is a bit insane between the two of them.
Okay. Well, Abraham's 8 goals in all competitions. He's only now behind Sterling this season, so in English football. So definitely deserve, you know, the call up which he just got just yesterday for England. Next game I would like to talk about is Liverpool versus Salzburg. What a crazy game.
I've got some thoughts on this game.
Go on then.
Liverpool are looking...
When don't you?
When don't I? Liverpool are looking like they're there for the taking in most games this season. And it looks... I feel like... I'll get onto it in a little bit when we talk about the Premier League, but I feel like they're there for the taking at the minute. They're somehow clinching through games. Like, yeah, they scored three great goals, and the first three goals were brilliant. But as soon as they scored that third goal, they just shut up shop and they didn't care. And letting Hwang and Minamino have that much space, like they're looking incredible prospects. Like, I don't think we're going to be seeing them playing in Austria next season, let's put it that way. I feel like both of them are going to be bought somewhere. I feel like Hwang could go. I feel like Hwang's going to go to the...
Hwang.
I feel like he's going to go to the Bundesliga quite easily.
Well, probably like, Leipzig, the
yeah,
partner.
Potentially, yeah. And it will do brilliantly.
Also, I want to shout out Haaland as well.
Yeah.
What a specimen. Like, how much of an athlete he looks for his age. Like, 19, he looks built, doesn't he?
Anyone that's ever played Football Manager knows how good this kid is.
you are the Football Manager pro, Nathan. You are, aren't you?
I was surprised to see him on the bench, actually. I know he came on and got the goal.
Did you see his goal?
Yeah.
It was so easy.
Yeah.
It was so easy. I mean, like, at this point, Liverpool were 3-2 up. And they're giving a striker that much space in the box. Like, you just can't do that.
Especially like how dangerous he is as well. He's already banging in goals this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's a really weird one to see Liverpool doing this, because they're currently the holders of the Champions League. They could have didn't they get the most points not to win the Premier League last season as well?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. In England, they're one of the best clubs we've got. But then as soon as they get a lead, they just sort of get complacent and don't really care. Like, they make too many individual mistakes at the minute, I feel.
It's all the wins in the Premier League and obviously in the Champions League, they're just sealing over cracks. Like, countless times where I think it was against, obviously this is going Premier League, so obviously we'll go back Champions League in a minute, but was it against Norwich, their first game of the season?
Yeah,
Norwich.
After that game, that's to say, I took out two of my three Liverpool defenders because they did not look...
What's that on your fantasy?
Yeah, they did not look stable at the back at all compared to last season where they were... I know obviously Van Dijk is still a powerhouse, but... there's just something about them which isn't the same at the back.
Well, they against Chelsea in the Super Cup, they played like this ridiculously high line, and they've been playing it a few times this season, and I don't think it works. Like, how it's not the same as they were playing last year. It's too risky.
I feel like they can be countered quite easily, and I feel like I think Alisson's a great keeper, but he does make a few mistakes. Like, he made a mistake yesterday, and luckily it was
Adrian was in it.
Oh, it was Adrian. Sorry, yeah, not Alisson. Alisson's still injured, isn't he?
Yeah.
No, they made a mistake that should have been capitalised on, but I think it was Minamino. He threw the ball out, and Minamino literally just like it landed straight at his leg and bounced straight out of play. And like, if this was a better squad, then no offense to Salzburg, but if this was a bigger club, like if they were playing Leicester City, if they were playing like a Man City, they'd be easily capitalising on these mistakes.
Yeah,
and I feel like it is almost like Liverpool is kind of coasting through games at the minute, but they're somehow still getting results. So I kind of can't knock them, but in the way, it's like they should be doing a lot better.
Yeah, but. Salzburg really got some promising players, like we said. Minamino looks like a great talent, the Japanese forward. But I want to just say as well, as much as Liverpool did look, you know, very shaky at the back, you've got to give them credit for some of the goals that they are scoring at the minute. In particular, I quite enjoyed Robertson's one.
I love how it was started by Robertson and then finished by him. And I found it funny how the assist came from Trent and it was scored by Robertson. Yeah.
Did you see Trent's tweet? He's like, "You can't beat me in assist stats if you're scoring."
It's good to see that they've got that competition, but it's just friendly as well. Yeah. But they know both of them have got to like put a shift in, get their spot. Is there anything else you always want to comment on that game?
I feel like it was just a missed opportunity for Salzburg. I feel like they were there for the taking. And if they'd brought on Haaland a little bit earlier, they could have maybe capitalised on that a bit more. I feel like they could have deserved a point. Well, they could have got a point quite easily, shall I say, in that game. Because Liverpool were just... they seem quite lazy at the back, like... everyone keeps going on about how great of a defender Van Dijk is, but he can't do everything on his own. Like, they can be exploited very easily defensively, Liverpool at the minute.
Yeah.
And I feel like a big club is going to do that to them very soon.
Well, that takes us right onto the Premier League, doesn't it? They're playing Leicester.
You saw my segue there?
Yeah, I think Leicester are going to win. After watching them play Sheffield United last weekend, they were just a one-man team. And I know they've got such a potentially threatening front three, but Van Dijk carried that game. If United had a world-class striker or someone who could just put a ball in the back of the net, they'd have been punished on numerous occasions. I think Liverpool were lucky to keep their 100% win record, to be honest, after last week.
I think they're going
to
lose.
And I think Leicester are in form enough at the moment to exploit that.
Well, since Brendan Rodgers came in, no one has scored more goals in the Premier League than Jamie Vardy. And I feel like against this Liverpool team at the weekend, Jamie Vardy's going to have a field day. Like, defensively, they don't seem all there. Like, if you can get past Van Dijk, you're kind of already in. Like, I think Trent's a great fullback going forward, but defensively, I don't think he's all there.
I think he deserves more credit than is perhaps made out in the media, though. I don't think he's that bad a defender. Like,
I don't think he's awful. He's often in position. I feel like he can just be easily exploited.
See, the difference... I feel
like all of their defence can be apart from Van Dijk, really.
See, people critique Trent and say how good Wan-Bissaka is defensively, which, yes, he is. He is probably better defensively, but I think that Wan-Bissaka's positioning often means that, you know, if he's in a bad position, he has to then recover, which makes him look like a...
Well, a lot of the time with Wan-Bissaka, we always go on about how many tackles he makes a game, but a lot of it is the time he's chasing back and having to slide back in, isn't
he? He makes a lot of goal line clearances and a lot of like last-ditch slide tackles, but then he always seems to win them. Like, if he's going in for a slide tackle, you're going to think he's going to win it and not make a foul a lot of the time, which is why I think everyone thinks he's such a great defender. But I just feel like someone like Jamie Vardy is going to be able to get through their defence really easily.
Yeah, I think that Leicester's creativity from the midfield as well. You look at that midfield of Tielemans, Maddison, if he's fit, I think he is, and Ndidi. And then obviously you've got the likes of Barnes and Albrighton that are more than capable of chipping in with assists. It's great creativity, isn't it? And I think that the thing that they perhaps lack now, Leicester, is just having a nice complementary forward for Vardy. Somebody that can chip in with some goals as well. I know they brought Perez in, but he didn't actually score too many for Newcastle, when considering he was their main man.
I don't think Perez is the right fit for what Leicester needed, really. I feel like it was just he was available on the market, so we thought go for it.
Rodgers went for him is because how hard he works for the team.
Yeah,
like winning the ball back and defending.
His work rate's really good. Yeah. But that, do you know, you mentioned about Albrighton there. I feel like Albrighton's really underrated just by the general like Premier League fans. Like he's one of the best crossers of the ball, I'd say, in the league.
Well,
Joe's got.
He's not Baldock,
I would actually argue.
He's not Ollie Norwood.
Oh, yeah, I'd argue he's a very good crosser.
I feel like everyone sort of overrates him because he's not as silky and doesn't score as many goals. But given assists, he's one of the. He's up there with Leicester's.
About 3 or 4 years ago when they won the league, he probably should have had a look in for an appearance for England.
I'm surprised he didn't get one.
Because they always throw appearances to anyone, don't they?
Yeah. And you've got to consider as well for this game that Liverpool are probably going to be more fatigued. They've played the Champions League game. It's been an intense game, as we saw Salzburg almost get back in.
Sheffield United sort of ran them off the park a bit the weekend as well before. And then they've played Salzburg in probably one of the most fatiguing games, having a 4-3. They're running all over the park all day. Leicester played...
Comfortable 5-0 Leicester played win.
Comfortable 5-0. They didn't even break a sweat.
Yeah.
Like, Vardy was just screaming around in the 90th minute. Like, what?
Second gear, football, that.
Honestly, I feel like they are there for the taking. I think Leicester are going to win
3-1. Okay, so you're going 3-1.
3-1.
Joe?
2-2.
Nathan?
2-2.
I'm going 2-2 as well. The next game I want to talk about is the early kickoff on Saturday. Brighton versus Spurs.
This is Spurs' chance to kind of get back into it. They've had two. They've obviously been embarrassed in the Champions League, embarrassed in the Cup, losing to Colchester.
Yep.
Was it Colchester, weren't it?
It wasn't Colchester.
So I think they need this this win. Brighton aren't on the greatest of forms either.
Do you think they'll pose that defensive threat? It's to be got at, isn't it, as we saw?
I feel like everyone's kind of overlooking Brighton. I feel like they could easily get a point in this game. Easily.
They've not won since the opening day, Brighton.
I'm saying get a point. I'm saying get a draw.
They do lack goals. They're missing that Trossard because he looked really good for the first few, didn't he?
Yeah. I'm thinking this could be a 0-0. I don't think Spurs are obviously going to go for it, but I feel like Brighton are quite good defensively and I feel like they can hold up.
I think Spurs, obviously they've played in midweek as well like Liverpool. I think they'll have too much quality for Brighton. I've been really impressed by Brighton's manager Potter. I think that he's tried to implement a new like creative and experimental sort of ideology at the club. Obviously they've had Houghton before, who I think is a decent enough manager, but he doesn't really give you anything to get off, you know, out your seats about. This guy's gonna, you know, we saw in the first game 3-0 away at Watford. Yes, it's looking like, oh, it's not much of an achievement now. We'll see it the weekend with Sheffield United playing them. However, I think Brighton have been a little bit unlucky. I think they deserve some credit for the football they're trying to play, the three at the back.
Can't all pull it off.
I've gone for a 2-1 away win for Spurs.
Yeah, same.
I'm thinking it could be goalless. But I'm also thinking both teams are gonna. I feel like it could be a bit of a goal fest because both teams. I mean, Spurs need this. Spurs need to win. Spurs have to win this game. After the week they've just had, they need to win.
Right? So what are you going for?
1-1 draw. 1-1 draw.
Joe.
1-0 Spurs. I don't think Brighton. They've got a chance, in my opinion.
Norwich Villa next game, perhaps. Unfortunately, both sitting, you know, on the cusp of relegation spots. I mean, 17th and 18th, very unfortunate in my opinion.
It's going to be a juicy one. Norwich are at home, which is Pookie's favourite place to bang them in, left, right, and centre. But they're just riddled with injuries at the moment. They've been so unlucky. For a promoted, for a newly promoted team, that's got to be a record for the amount of injuries.
I mean, to
they've
beat
had.
City with 10 first team injuries is remarkable, really.
Yeah. I've been impressed by both of them, really. They both play expansive football. They show confidence. I just think perhaps they're a little bit naive, especially when I watched Villa on the opening day against Spurs. Had the lead, they probably could have shut up shop and just had a little bit of tactical nous to see it out. And then you had Norwich as well that are just kind of going gung-ho. Obviously, a lot of injuries, as Nathan alluded to there. But like new signing Amadou, I think it was against, was it against Burnley where he just lunges in, gives away penalties. It's little things like that that instead of getting a point away at somewhere like Turf Moor, which would be a result, you're then going away with nothing. And that can add up at the end of the season.
Could this be... Do you reckon Dean Smith is going to get sacked soon?
No, because think of the amount of money they've spent.
Because I reckon he could be one of the next managers to go.
I don't think so. Just because
there's managers that are going to go before he does, way before
him
he
and
does.
Terry, I think they've invested, you know, effort and time and
they're
obviously money.
Good
into
stuff.
That.
They just need the results to go with it.
A lot of the players have been impressed.
You can play.
They?
You can play good football all you want, but at the end of the day, if you ain't getting points, it don't matter. Like, Liverpool didn't play the greatest of football against United.
But they get
we
points.
Played better football than them for a lot of the game. We still didn't come away with anything. And at the end of the day, playing better football doesn't always keep you up. It's about, at the end of the day, just scrapping them points. And if they're throwing away leads, and yeah, they've been unlucky with VAR this season, but at the end of the day, in another 10 games, if they're sitting on maybe double the amount of points we've got now, is that really good enough for a team who've spent 120?
Yeah. I just think you've got to be patient with them and the results will eventually start to come.
Yeah, it's kind of like Burnley when they first came up, bit of a yo-yo. We might get that with Villa, but I think show a bit of patience. Obviously, they're fully, you know, they're run differently to how Villa are, to how Burnley are, sorry. But I like Dean Smith. I like what he's done. I think John Terry will obviously be of use to that defence, that young defence that they've got. Obviously, we'll cover it a bit more next week, but the likes of Mings has been called up again for England. So, you know, must be doing something right. But yeah, I've gone for a 2-2 in this one.
I've also gone 2-2. I think both teams are up for the taking in this game. And I feel like both of them are going to try and play just attacking football all game. Norwich have got so many defensive injuries. And to me, Villa don't seem solid enough at the back. The only good thing about their defence is in goal, they've got Heaton, but that's about it. I feel like they're much better at going forward, both teams are, so I feel like it's going to get 2-2.
Yep.
4-2 Villa.
Really?
Yeah.
I've gone 3-1 Villa.
Yeah.
It could be anything, to be honest. This
you think this, you think that at Norwich they're going to be able to get that many goals?
Yeah.
Well, you've
score three or four goals at Norwich.
We call it man of the match performance from John McGinn.
I heard that, Nathan.
John McGinn, man of the match performance, calling it now. Watford versus Sheffield United.
I'm just going to put my prediction straight out there now. I think Sheffield United are going to win this. I think it's going to be a 2-1. I feel like Watford have been the most disappointing team this season.
Goes without saying, doesn't it?
Yeah.
2 points.
I mean,
minus
the
16.
They're bottom of the table, but they've been a solid Premier League club for the last like 4 or 5 seasons now, maybe.
They're struggling. Obviously, their goal difference is a bit skewed because of that 8-0 loss against City, but still, even without that, that's 12 goals conceded, 4 scored. It's just not good enough, really. And I think against a team like United, who I think you'll agree with me here, out of all the promoted teams, have the strongest from a defensive standpoint. Yeah, okay, we made errors last week, an individual error, sorry. But other than that...
That being said, though, you're highest in the table, like out of the newly promoted teams, you're 12th in the table.
Yeah, but we're struggling.
Opposed to them,
issue is
Villa
we're struggling to
Norwich
score.
17th, 18th.
We need someone who can finish. Like, if it's frustrating watching
Pookie
United play.
If you had Pookie or Wesley,
yeah,
be a different story.
Yeah.
Genuinely, if we had someone like Pookie, who we basically need, I said this to Nathan earlier, I said, we need someone who can finish like Billy Sharp, but
has
who has more to offer than Billy Sharp. Like, don't get me wrong, when you bring him on in like the 70th minute, the whole morale of the team rises.
Yep.
The stadium goes mental. He starts warming up on the sidelines. The stadium goes mental. But at the end of the day, we need someone, as you said, who has got the pace of like Moussa, but can finish like Sharp. We don't have that at the moment.
I've said this to you. I've said this to all three many times in the last few weeks, but I feel like you bought the wrong strikers. There was better strikers on the market you could have potentially gone for.
Who would you have gone for?
I'd have gone Charlie Austin. I'd have put a bid in for Charlie Austin easily. Andre Gray was available. I'd have put a bid in for him. Maybe even Che Adams if they'd gone in early enough for him. There were strikers that were available.
Che Adams looked unbelievably wank for Southampton.
Send slap, please.
When we played Southampton, I know they won, but genuinely, he had no impact in that game whatsoever. I think you're right, but at the same time, I trust Wilder's doing at the moment.
My thought would have been, though, someone like Charlie Austin is essentially like a little bit of a younger Billy Sharp in like the way he plays football. And no, I think he's as clinical, and he's a proven Premier League goal scorer, which is almost what you needed, but you went for two strikers. One in Moussa, who's been in the Premier League for a few years but has never had a chance. And then Ollie McBurnie, who wasn't even that special.
We also got Robinson, and we literally only really...
He wasn't even that special in the Championship for Swansea, and you spent 20 million on him.
Yeah, well, if we're talking about spending money on people who aren't very special, I don't think we should aim at Sheffield United, should we?
Anyway, I've gone for a 1-1. I think that this is going to be a really scrappy game. I think United would love to come away and could obviously come away with a win.
Their away record is really good this season.
I think they could, but I think that Watford are going to get pick up a little bit of form and grind out for a 1-1, so it doesn't really help either side. I mean, it keeps United ticking along, but obviously doesn't help Watford. They'll still be rooted to the bottom.
We'd be level on points with Man United.
Ah.
Well, that depends.
And let's face it, it's going to be a loss of a weekend if we're away from home, but let's not talk about that yet.
We'll get there on Sunday. We'll finish the Saturday games first and we'll get to my thoughts on Man United.
I'm going to go 3-0. I think it's going to be the first time United actually have a strong attacking performance this season. I think that this could be the start of maybe... Because last week, it wasn't just the defensive error from Henderson. It was also the fact that we didn't take chances when we had him on a plate. Clark missed a sitter. We had chances to not to bury the game, but to equalise or to even put ourselves in front. And I think not only will Henderson have had a kick up the backside by Wilder, I think the attacking squad will have also been basically had a wake-up call from him.
And these are the games that you really need to pick up points. Obviously... Beforehand, we would have said Watford, Vicarage Road, difficult place to go to and get a result. But with we've looked ahead and looking at the Christmas fixtures for Sheffield United, you got City twice in about 3 weeks.
City, Liverpool, West Ham, Arsenal, City, or something like that.
So now, if you can pick up points,
now is the time to pick up points.
If we can go into Christmas, don't get me wrong, we've got a relatively easy run up before Christmas. But if we can go into Christmas 10th or 11th. I'd be ecstatic.
Yeah, definitely.
I think that you've got no problems going down this season. I feel like you're safe already. I would think it's hard to say you're already safe, but I feel like you're up there already. You're looking fine.
Nathan, score prediction?
I thought Watford were embarrassing against City. 5-0 after, what was it, 18 minutes?
Yeah. Yep.
And last week they were crap. I mean, they are crap, basically. They're
the crap all season.
Their season, but... I think at some point the results are going to turn around at least. I'm going to get 2-1, Watford.
Ooh. Adam?
I was originally thinking 2-1. I was thinking Watford getting on the score sheet, but I feel like after last week, I feel like Hendo's got something to prove. I feel like he's going to try and keep a clean sheet, so I'm going to say 2-0.
Okay. Burnley-Everton, not really too much to say for this game.
I think it's going to be a boring one, personally. But
Burnley 11th, Everton really are struggling 15.
You say boring one, I went 0-0.
I've gone 1-1. But I don't know why. I don't know who's going to even score for Everton. I feel like no one's even... Moise Keane doesn't seem ready for the Prem yet.
Richarlison, maybe? He's their go-to man.
He's their go-to, but I feel like...
1-0.
Burnley. I've won that as well. Yeah. I think Ashley Barnes
was going to say the same thing.
Barnes and Wood have both... I think Barnes is 4, Wood 3, so their strikers are doing...
They're doing all right, yeah.
Everton can't put the ball in the back of the net. And I've mentioned to Josh before, Pickford, I don't even think he's good enough to be England's keeper at the moment.
Who would you say should be England's number one?
Well, I'm biased. So
apart from Dean Henderson.
Dean Henderson.
Really? You think so? Not
it's an interesting point you were making about Pickford, though.
The point was, again, when United played him and beat him at home at Goodison Park, one of United's goals, P- Pickford should have been able to come out and claim that ball. He came out to try and punch it, but when he punches it, it's as if he's scared of the ball or scared of getting hurt because he looks away from... If you slow it down, he looks away from the ball.
He's like me
second.
As a goalkeeper.
Yeah, he is, except for me can still use his hands a bit.
Oh, really?
He looks away from the ball, and that is such a bad trait. I'm not saying I'm a goalkeeping expert, but that is such a bad trait in a goalkeeper to have. The fact that it's not that he's scared... Obviously, everyone's scared of getting hurt, but it's the fact that he just... He punches kind of with his fists out and with his head at like facing the opposite way.
Yeah.
And it's such... I think it could... It's not the first time it's been exploited, and it wouldn't surprise me if it's the last, to be honest.
And I think Burnley, like you've made that point there, Joe, I think they'll be fully aware of that. And like the likes of Barnes, Wood, etc., they're going to pump the balls into that box.
Pump, pump, pump.
Yep. But for me, I think Everton are going to struggle with the physicality, hence why I've gone for a Burnley win. And even though, yes, they've brought in like Bamin from Mines, who looks like quite a strong lad.
Injured, isn't he, at the minute?
Yeah. That, exactly. And I think that they're lacking physicality. There we go. But obviously, Idrissa Gana-Gueye has been sold to PSG.
Really for
that
them.
Is, for me, that is one of the biggest losses.
I mean, ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, yeah, he's 29 or whatever. What was it? How much? 27 million?
Yeah.
They're just under 30, yeah. That sounds about right.
But like to them, he's worth 100 million, what he did for the team.
Yeah, he made those round it, like, because he's the amount of effort and, you know, interceptions, tackles, the numbers he put up just boosted everyone else around them, meant that they could, like, the likes of Gomez and Davis could play with more freedom. So, yeah, we're all going for are we going for a draw?
I'm saying 1-1.
Joe, just you're going me nil. And you, 1-0, and Nathan?
0-0.
Just before we move on from Everton, though, not having Gueye is allowing them not to be able to go and attack. Like, if you, it's the same thing as if it's like if Leicester lost Wilfred Ndidi, they lose all that stability in the back, and going forward they then just become a bit of a mess. And that's what's happening this season, not replacing them. So
other games include West Ham Palace. I just want a quick prediction for this. I've gone 2-0.
I think in West Ham are going to take them quite easily. I feel like Palace are really, really quite awful.
I've gone 3-1 to West Ham.
I've gone 3-1 as well.
Joe?
2-1.
I'm quite shocked that Palace are ninth, not going to lie. But three wins in the last five.
I don't think
Palace
deserve to be ninth, personally.
They're not scoring at all.
Yeah.
Arsenal-Bournemouth?
Ooh, I've gone 2-2. I think similar to the Liverpool-Leicester game, I think it's going to be quite an entertaining one. Arsenal shambles at the back. Bournemouth got some lethal finishers in King and Wilson. Harry Wilson started really well as well. But I think Arsenal have always got a couple of goals in them. So 2-2 for me.
I've gone Arsenal 3, Bournemouth 2.
I've gone Bournemouth 3, Arsenal 1.
Ooh.
I feel like having the extra Europa League game is going to do them, and it's almost shooting them in the foot a little bit at the minute. Like the early Europa League games really do, and I feel like Bournemouth are looking like one of the better teams so far, in my opinion, going forward. And I feel like the Arsenal defence is almost as abysmal as the Man United's defence at the minute, so I feel like they could easily concede goals. If we got going forward, Arsenal are great, but also defensively they're woeful.
I'm saying 3-2 Arsenal as well.
Okay. Southampton Chelsea, just quickly, we've obviously talked about Chelsea.
2-0 Chelsea. When Southampton came to Bramall Lane, obviously that's really the only game I've watched of Southampton, but it was a spark of individual genius to basically which caused them to win. It isn't like they were a very poor team, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've gone 2-0 away win for Chelsea as well.
Same.
I think the same. Surprised by Southampton. Thought Hasenhüttl was really going to put his own twist on this team, but I think the squad's just not really there. So yeah, comfortable Chelsea win. City Wolves 4-1 for me.
I've gone 3-1 Man City.
I've gone 1-1.
1-1. Why that?
Wolves last season always like played really well against the big teams rather than the small teams, where they got found out a fair few times. And I think City, against last week against Everton, really, they finished 3-1, but first half, Everton did give them a good game. And, I mean, they weren't firing on all cylinders midweek, so I think Wolves possibly could finally, you know, get a decent result for themselves going.
Joe, what are you going for?
3-0 City.
Okay. Newcastle Man U, this is going to be a difficult one for United, I think.
Here we go.
Adam, I've heard you've got some juice on Man United.
Okay, so I'm the resident Man United fan in this room.
Unlucky.
Unfortunately, yeah. We're sat in 10th place. Wait, we're literally
where
in the middle
from,
of the table.
Where are you from, Adam, by the way?
I'm from Leicester, but the reason I'm a Man United fan is because my dad, I'll have you know. So don't go and try and out me as a Glory supporter. I had no choice.
But you ain't a Glory supporter, are you?
Not
Let's
anymore.
Face it.
No, no, boys.
I'm a Sheffield United fan. Anyway, right, I honestly think we're going to struggle against Newcastle. And that is saying something.
Yeah.
We are a poor team this season. Like, we've invested a lot of money. We've spent 80 million on Harry Maguire, who seems like he seems as great as he always was. He's a great centre back. There's nothing taken away from that. But as a defensive unit, we seem a bit all over the shop. Midfield, I don't think there's nothing great going forward. We're lacking a clinical finisher since losing Lukaku. I feel like it was a ballsy decision not to replace him. But then there was always the risk of if someone gets injured, we're kind of screwed. And someone's got injured, so we are kind of screwed. We're having to give 17-year-old Mason Greenwood a start in the Europa League.
You're forgetting one of your biggest downfalls. You've got an awful manager. He came out last night after the Europa League without a shot on target in a 0-0 draw saying
against AZ Alkmaar.
He was, what was it, very pleased?
Yeah.
Come on. Like, you've got to have... And I'm not saying you've got to be as harsh on your players as Wilder is with United, because obviously he's been with them for a lot longer. But you cannot come out after a shambles performance like that and say, oh, I was pretty pleased with it, because you can't, because you're not. You've not got a shot on target. You're playing Jesse Lingard, and he's the only one who's had an actual decent shot on goal, and it wasn't even on target. So, like, how can he...
Honestly.
You need to get a manager who is actually going to manage and not just kind of say anything to make the players happy.
Like, he lacks a bit of a backbone to me. Like,
he has no backbone.
He could be walked over by any player. I feel like Mason Greenwood would have a go at him and he wouldn't know what to say to him. And I feel like as a manager of a big club, like, I know we're sat in 10th position, but we are one of the biggest clubs in Europe. You can't be letting your players walk over you. Like, if someone says something to Chris Wilder's going to have a go at him back, and he's going to put him back in his place.
He'd do it publicly.
And like, you know what? Honestly, if you're looking for a Man United replacement long term, Chris Wilder.
No. Keep him at United, because I'm happy
hot
with him at
take.
United.
Hot take.
Is that your hot take?
He is the perfect replacement for Man United.
Well,
I see many similar traits between him and Sir Alex Ferguson. So many. So many.
You know, what did he... I think he won EFL Manager of the Year last year, or LMA. No, he won LMA Manager of the Year. He won, like... I think it was...
We're not
going to
pry him away
well.
From United. You would easily take
him away from Sheffield United.
I feel like he wouldn't leave to the end of the season. I feel like he wouldn't leave mid-season.
He wouldn't leave mid-season.
But we're probably going to get rid of Ole in the middle of the season. If we don't get a result this weekend, he's probably gone.
You're going to have Gus Hiddink coming in.
Do you know what? I'd take Louis van Gaal back.
I can see Wilder, if he doesn't get an offer from somewhere else, as in, like, unless it's a big club, I can't see him leaving United.
Man United. If he got an offer from Man United, there's no way he wouldn't go.
I think he'd do it on his terms.
If you give Chris Wilder money to spend to let him build a team for, like, if we give him a guaranteed, like, we'll give you at least two seasons.
But that's the issue.
And
he doesn't get for money.
But
the players who've played well under him, Pogba and...
Could you imagine Chris Wilder directing Paul Pogba? Could you imagine him telling him what to do?
Pogba is awful.
No, I couldn't. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I reckon he put him in place. I reckon...
But it doesn't matter about putting him in place, because Pogba has no work ethic for the team whatsoever. He plays for himself and himself only. So that's why he needs a manager that's not like Ollie who's going to let him walk over. Wilder's going to change that. I think it's just going to make him get in it. I don't think a manager would change that about Pogba. I think that's just him as a person.
I think Newcastle 0, Man United 4.
4?
Yeah.
You think we can score
Mate,
4 goals?
Have you seen Newcastle this season? Brucey Ball is different game.
I've put a 1-0 down for Man United, and I'm risking that.
Joe?
I think someone like Fred's going to bag a goal in the 85th minute.
2-0, because I want Man United's 10 winless away games in a row to carry on.
So you're going 2-0 Newcastle?
2-0 Newcastle. I think Joe Linton's going to be on fire.
That'll be a big result.
If Man United lose 2-0, I think Ollie has to go. If we lose to Newcastle, he has to go.
See,
at that point. And I hate the idea of getting rid of a manager before he's had his time. But I feel like there's giving a manager a chance, and then there's not having a clue what's going on.
We've got Liverpool the week after.
That'll be fun. So, having done my prediction before the Europa League games, I went 2-1 United, but I've gone 1-1 now. I think both of these teams are lacking quality, and the main issue for me as a United fan would be that we haven't resolved any of the issues that have been there for many a years.
We've sold so many big players, and I get the fact that they were players that were bit part and we needed to get rid of them, such as Fellaini, such as Lukaku, such as Sanchez. They were bit part players almost, and we're coming like on the fringe and we needed to get rid of them. And while we could cash in, we could. great. But we've not replaced any of them. Like, we've still not got a replacement for Marouane Fellaini, who left a season and a half ago. We've still not got a replacement. We didn't get a replacement for Lukaku. Didn't get another winger in for Sanchez. Where are the replacements coming in? Why are we just, like, we're selling players for the sake of selling them?
Yeah. But so, Bar and Nathan, gone for a competitively woeful game.
It'll be the worst. It'll be last on match of the day.
So that's going to be a wrap for today's episode. Next week we're going to be introducing some different sections. We're going to be talking about the England squad that came out just yesterday. We're going to go more into depth with the international games coming up next week. We're also going to be having a little new section called British Players Abroad, or along those lines.
Lads on tour.
There we go. That's the concept. But you have to tune in next week to find out a little more about that. So I hope you've enjoyed. It's goodbye from me, Josh. Goodbye.
I'll see you later.
Bye.
That's cheerio.
It is now. It's four.